Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Here's the latest on the earthquake and tsunami. President Obama has assured earthquake-ravaged Japan that the United States stands ready to help, and he said the administration is ready to spring to the aid of Hawaii and the West Coast, if necessary. The president said that his administration would continue to closely monitor tsunamis around Japan and the Pacific going forward, and he directed FEMA to mobilize. Now, this is the largest earthquake in Japan's history, measuring at an incredible magnitude of 8.9 on the Richter scale. It pummeled the eastern coast of Japan, accompanied by a towering tsunami almost instantly. Hundreds are dead or missing, no exact numbers, of course. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate says tsunami warnings and watches have been issued for the U.S. territories of Guam, the Northern Marianas Islands, and coastal areas in Hawaii, Alaska, California, Oregon, and Washington. And some of the latest that we're getting on those are that tsunami waves have swamped Hawaii beaches and brushed the U.S. western coast, but did not immediately cause major damage. Waves of about 7 feet high were recorded on Maui and 3 feet in Oahu and Kauai. Officials warned that the waves would continue and could become larger. And a scientist at the Tsunami Warning Center said there was likely some damage to mooring facilities and piers. Geophysicist Gerard Fryer in Hawaii says, "We called this right. There's absolutely no question that this," meaning evacuation, "was the right thing to do." Fryer also said that high water reached Port Orford, Oregon, around 11:30 a.m. New York time today. Evacuations were ordered and beaches closed all along that coast, and fishermen in Crescent City, California, fired up their crab boats and left the harbor to ride out an expected swell. A tsunami in 1964 killed 11 people in Crescent City. In Hawaii, roadways and beaches are empty. As sirens sounded throughout the night, most residents cleared out from the coasts and low-lying areas. The tsunami, again spawned by an 8.9 magnitude earthquake in Japan, slammed the eastern coast of Japan, sweeping away boats, cars, homes, and people as widespread fires are burning out of control. The tsunami raced across the Pacific at 500 miles an hour. Can you imagine? That's as fast as a jetliner, though tsunami waves roll into shore at normal speeds when they hit. So that is some of the latest from Japan and from the coastal sections of the United States along the Pacific. We are putting out a call for some of you who may have connections with anybody in Japan, whatever you are hearing from, 212-433, or whatever you are hearing from them, I should say, 212-433-9692. And actually, I should also say that if you are listening in Japan, you can call us directly as well here in the United States, because Joe in Tokyo is apparently doing that right now. Joe, hello from New York. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Been listening to your show for many years now, and I'm just glad to be calling in. I wish the circumstances were a little better.
Indeed, and I'm so glad you're a listener. But what's happening right now in Tokyo itself?
Right. We're still getting some fairly severe aftershocks. This is maybe 10 and a half hours late. It's about 1:30 in the morning here. The trains are, so far as I can tell, they're not running. They are. Okay, we're getting some partial service back on the trains, but that's very new. I actually walked home from Tokyo Station. It took me about 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a taxi. The buses were sort of running, but not really.
How far are you from the coast?
From the coast, well, we're actually overlooking upper Tokyo Bay. And we're behind a couple of sluice gates, which seem to be working overtime tonight.
Is there any destruction in Tokyo that you know of, or people killed or injured?
Not that I can see, no. There's not really a lot of really noticeable physical damage, just a lot of disruption.
Joe, thank you very much for calling, and I hope everything's okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Call us again under other circumstances.
Okay. Well, too, Brian.
Joe calling from Tokyo. Thank you very much. Joining us now is Dr. Sean Duffy, an assistant professor at Rutgers Camden. He's been talking with friends in Japan all morning. Dr. Duffy, thank you very much for joining us. Hello.
Hi.
So we just heard the report from Tokyo. Of course, it's Honshu that's much more affected. Tell us who you've been talking to and what you've been hearing.
Well, I mean, I've been talking to people throughout the island. Clearly, the northern part of the island is much more affected than in the south. You know, everyone was very much shooken up. I've been saying to people that people don't understand that, it, like, an earthquake is an emotionally devastating experience, because when we live through our lives, we trust that the ground that we step on is going to be solid. But when you get shook up like that, and I was in, the first time I experienced an earthquake was in Japan, it's just like sort of an emotionally sort of devastating sort of experience. And so everyone is sort of like experiencing a little bit of post-traumatic stress. There are these aftershocks. But fortunately, you know, all of the people who I'm in contact with there are okay, but they're really, you know, I think that there's going to be a lot of recovery time.
I guess we should point out that you're a psychology professor at Rutgers Camden, right?
Yes.
So keying in on some of the emotional aftershocks as well. Also joining us and back with us, he was with us last hour, Gregory Barroza, professor and associate chair for graduate studies at the Earthquake Seismology Group at Stanford University in California. Professor Barroza, thank you for coming back on. Have you ever studied in your seismology work the kind of emotional effects either on individuals or societies after major earthquakes?
No, I haven't. So I'll defer to the experts on that sort of thing. I wanted to give you just a bit of an update on the earthquake itself, however.
Please.
And in particular, its magnitude. So it takes a while to get all the readings in and to analyze them. And the people who are doing this, and including scientists at Columbia University and your neck of the woods, are finding that this earthquake may be as large as 9.0 or 9.1. That doesn't sound like it's much bigger than 8.9, but in fact, because it's a logarithmic scale, it is a substantially larger earthquake than we even thought about a few hours ago.
So 9.0 or 9.1, try to put that in human terms for us, or or maybe historical terms. How does that compare to the earthquake in Haiti, which we hear on the earth on the East Coast, followed so closely, or you know, the famous San Francisco earthquake from 1906, or give us some reference point.
Sure. Okay, so the Haiti earthquake was a magnitude 7.0, almost a 7.1. For each magnitude unit you go up, you increase by a factor of 32 in terms of the energy release. So this earthquake is roughly 1,000 times the energy release as the Haiti earthquake. Now, the Haiti earthquake was devastating because it occurred right adjacent to Port-au-Prince, very densely populated, poorly constructed area. But this earthquake was absolutely today's earthquake was monstrously large. It's one of the five or so biggest earthquakes we've ever recorded.
Dr. Duffy, in Japan, on a psychological level, they live with earthquakes. And I guess people, I don't know whether it makes you more anxious over time, knowing that these things come and go, or whether it makes you more stable over time, knowing that this is just part of life.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do live with earthquakes for sure, and one of the things that, you know, is really good is they have a very advanced, like, detection system. So when I lived with a family on a coastal city called Zushi, and they have, like, a little box in their home that it's like a smoke detector alarm that goes off when there's a threat of a tsunami. So they're very prepared. They've invested billions of dollars in seawalls and other things to protect. So they're prepared for this to occur, and they really do know that, like, something like this, you know, does occur.
Let's take another call from somebody who's been in touch with people in Japan, or with one person in Japan. Kate in Croton on Hudson. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, as soon as I heard about it, I emailed my friend who's been teaching in Tokyo for 20 years, and she was at a subway station. She had just missed the train, And everything shook, of course, as she said. Everybody, the train was all, the platform was crowded. Everybody fell down. They couldn't even stand. They went crawling over to the wall so they wouldn't fall into the pit. And then they evacuated the station. She said she went to a taxi stand. She waited for 3 hours, I think she said, she waited for a taxi, and then it took her about 2 hours to get home. When she got home, the elevator wasn't working. She walked up the stairs. She went in her house, and everything was all over the place. And she got in contact with her friends, the teacher at the school, and she said they were all trapped at the school, and they were in the teacher's lounge having crackers and wine.
Wow.
Waiting to be, and they're very, she's extremely shook up about it.
And that's
really
all
upset.
In Tokyo, right, Kate?
Right, in Tokyo.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your report. Carol in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. You have friends in Japan.
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends. I did a dance show just a few months ago, actually, and I spent a week, and we have a big mailing list. And so, of course, you know, I woke up and heard the news, and, you know, the artistic director of our company had already fired off an email to the list. So thankfully, many of the dancers on the list have been responding. They're all okay so far. Everyone we've heard from is okay. Damage in Tokyo is not horrible. They're very worried about their own friends and acquaintances up in Chiba and north in, I can't even
Honshu.
Think. Honshu, right. They're very concerned about the power plant situation. So I've been saying, as far as I've heard, the power plants went offline. So, you know, in some ways they're relying on us to help give them information because they don't have cell phones, they don't have electricity. Many of them, one wrote saying that she had to walk 6 hours to get home. As the woman who just spoke said, you know, they're all very shook up physically and emotionally. It's a wonderful thing. They're just so grateful that they have this great, you know, tool on their mobiles, because they all have mobiles and they love their mobiles. And so they're tweeting each other, and it's a very important support network for them. And, you know, and they're kind of relying on us because we're a little bit better plugged in right now than they are.
Indeed.
To give them whatever information we can.
Carol, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. And I know they are reporting that the power plants are under control. There was a fire in a part of a nuclear power plant in that region, but they say there has been no leak of radioactivity. Hopefully there will be none going forward. The AP is reporting that Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell, it's the U.S. Pentagon, says there were also no reports of damage to U.S. installations or ships in the area. This coming from the Associated Press. Morrell, who is traveling with Defense Secretary Robert Gates in Brussels, said that Gates was briefed by Pacific Command officials on Friday while he was attending a NATO meeting on the Afghanistan war. The State Department issued a travel alert strongly urging U.S. citizens to avoid non-essential travel to Japan. Tokyo airports are currently closed. Other airports in Japan may be closed or have restricted access. Public transportation, including trains and subways, are closed in the Tokyo area, though our previous caller from Tokyo said some train service he believes is coming back, and service has been interrupted in many other areas. We are also told that strong aftershocks are likely for weeks. This is a State Department statement. It urged U.S. citizens currently in Japan to contact family and friends in the United States to confirm their well-being at the earliest opportunity. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley tweeted today that Ambassador John Roos has moved the U.S. Embassy's command center to an alternate location as a precaution given the many aftershocks in Tokyo. Professor Barroza, as a seismologist, how bad would you expect the aftershocks to be, and how quickly and for how long in a magnitude 9 earthquake?
Well, we can use the earthquake in Chile, which happened in February of last year, as a guide. What we observe with aftershocks generally is that they occur very frequently immediately after a large earthquake, and then they decay fairly slowly with time. So there are still aftershocks happening, pretty large aftershocks happening for the last year's Chile earthquake a year later. So Japan, there are going to be a lot of aftershocks to such a big main shock, and they're going to persist for a long, long time.
We are getting this from Google. Google had its Person Finder service up and running. The app lets people report someone as missing or report someone who has been found. And within 2 hours of launching, the service had gained 2,000 entries reported from people reported missing. Now, let me ask our producer, does this pertain only to Japan? 2,000 Japanese missing? Is that what we're being told here? Or for people who have been reported alive? Apparently so. As of 11 o'clock our time this morning, the service was tracking some 7,200 entries. I am getting confirmation now that this is only with respect to Japan. So as of 11 o'clock this morning, Google's Person Finder had 2,000 entries from people reported missing or from people who had been reported alive. We don't have the breakdown as to how many were missing, how many were said to be alive. We have previous reports from the many news organizations that hundreds of people at least are missing in Japan and several hundred believed very strongly to be dead. Again, as of 11 o'clock this morning, Google Person Finder was tracking some 7,200 entries, and I passed that along also just in case that's a tool that any of you with contacts in Japan might want to use to help other people. Dr. Duffy, with your contacts with Japan, just give our listeners unfamiliar with the country a little bit of a sense, and then we've got to go, of Honshu. We've been talking about the difference between Tokyo, where the effects have not been as severe, and Honshu, which seems to be the epicenter. Where is Honshu? What's it like there?
Well, Honshu is like the northern part of the island, and it's it has a very kind of a Russian feel to it. Like there's the because it's closer to the Russian mainland, so the culture there is a little bit different than it is in Tokyo. But Honshu is just sort of the main island of Japan on which you know Tokyo sits. So it's but I think it's the northern region of Honshu that was affected most severely.
All right. And again, one more time, the U.S. elements here, waves of about 7 feet high were recorded in Maui, 3 feet in Oahu and Kauai. Officials there have evacuated and say the evacuation was necessary, even though there has been no report of real damage in Hawaii or on the U.S. West Coast, where the tsunami has also started to come ashore, but there is continuing concern because the first waves of a tsunami are not always the last and not always the strongest. So again, I want to thank Gregory Barroza, professor of geophysics at Stanford University, who has joined us three times this morning. Thank you so much, Professor.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And we thank Dr. Sean Duffy, psychology professor at Rutgers Camden, for his information and his knowledge and contacts with Japan. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And listeners, of course, we will continue to follow this story throughout the day here on WNYC. But up next here on The Brian Lehrer Show, Fortune Magazine's report on the best places to work in the United States. Stay with us.